don't play on this. in service to the Lord. So thank you all very much for that. And as you've seen at the back table back there, our offering envelopes for 2016 are back there, so you can start getting them. Christmas is over, so now we're giving a gift back to you. So you can have your offering envelopes there as you gather today as well. Just a reminder, in that vein, we'll be having our stewardship campaign in January. That's not to scare anyone off. Come. Our messages through January will be on stewardship with the Pledge Sunday at the end of the month. So be prepared for that coming up as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of our Savior this first Sunday after Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
May your Spirit grow within us, that we may grow in wisdom and truth all the days of our lives. Teach us your ways, that we may walk the path of Christ and lead others into your light. Clothe us, gracious God, with compassion and kindness, with humility and gentleness, that others may see in us the truth of your love. Bind us together in love and unity, that our church may be a haven of blessing and a place of peace. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our praise songs today especially the first one, Emmanuel, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verse 23. And it states, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's sing.
Once we tear all our packages open and we get our things that we thought we really wanted, How many of you got things that are already broken? Have you gotten something for Christmas that's already broken? Boy, we usually tore up half of our gifts on Christmas morning before. You know, I guess they build things a little better now. I don't know. Oh, that's great. Well, Christmas should be every day, right? Not just when we put up Christmas trees and we celebrate, but every day we should welcome who? Jesus. So if we're welcoming Jesus every day is like Christmas, isn't it? That's what I want you to remember. The greatest gift, what's the best gift you got this year?
My family.
Come on now, don't mess this up. Oh, Jesus! Hold on. We would have told you. See how easily distracted I am? I do have ADDs. I do have that. Oh, look, a squirrel. You seen that commercial? What are we doing again? Okay. We are remembering the greatest gift of all. Cat, you stumbled onto the right answer. Jesus is the best gift we've ever been given, right? Say yes. Yes. Are you glad of that? What has Jesus done for us? So now the questions are getting stickier, aren't they? Why did he die for us? Because we're sinners. We're bad people, right? Except me, I'm pretty good. But, you know, most of you all are bad people. Jesus came to forgive our sins. And if it wasn't for that, we are hopeless, right? So we have to thank God every day that he sent his son as a gift for us. So that's what I want you to remember today. That just because December 25th is celebrated as Jesus' birthday and we get to give gifts to one another, we receive that gift every day. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I want you to remember today is the gift that keeps on giving. Because Jesus never breaks. Never goes out of fashion. He never wears out. He's always there. Okay, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We remember him as the greatest gift ever given. And we thank you for that. Your son came to earth for each one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming for us alone as individuals. We love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you, guys. Jesus is the gift. I really want you to know as continue to give. It's a time in our service we get to bring our prayers and our praises before the Lord. And we do have some sad news today as well. If you were here on Christmas Eve, our good friend Richard Fearbin passed away on Christmas Eve. And it's a blessing for him. I'm happy that he's relieved of his suffering. But those of us left behind, his good friends, certainly will miss him. And I just received another phone call this morning about 9 o'clock. If you remember Bill Carpenter, a member of our congregation that passed away within the past year, his sister called, and one of their sisters had passed away on December 21st. So several families experiencing loss during this time. But Bill's younger sister, Sherry, live here in the group home as well. We've got some folks still in the hospital. Megan Call was taken to the hospital on Christmas Day with a kidney infection, so we're praying that she would quickly recover and be able to come home as well. So we continue to pray for Megan. Larry, I saw Larry yesterday. Larry walked 168 feet. He has it down to the step that he takes. So Larry has a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. We're hoping he gets good results, and he's hoping to be able to come home very shortly as well. So keep him in your prayers. Ken Chanel had a procedure last week as well, and he's doing well on the road to recovery. So let's continue to pray for Ken Chanel as well. We have some praises today. Hilton Violet Jarvis celebrating 40 years of marriage. Happy anniversary. Bethany, Kathy's daughter, passed a real estate exam, so we're happy for her as well.
Yay.
And we give praise for visitors coming back. Marcella, it's so good to see you. You snuck in on me this morning, but we lift your family in prayer as well. And it's nice to see Marcella visiting with us. So I know there's things that you bring this morning that have gone unmentioned. They're in your hearts. Now is the opportunity for you to go before the Lord in prayer and your praise as well. So let's bow our heads and pray together, please. Gracious and loving God, what an awesome God you are. This first Sunday after celebrating the birth of your Son, we once again are reminded that this is the gift that gives every day, every moment, every second of our lives. Father, we pray today that our eyes would be opened anew to the relationship you offer to us. Father, we are grateful to be your children. We are grateful to be called to sit at your feet. We are grateful for lives lived in faith. We're grateful for new life coming about in this season. Father, we thank you for each day of each individual as we sit here today and think of the blessings that have been poured out upon us. Father, today we mourn our friends that have gone on. We mourn for ourselves for the loss of their friendship and the love we shared. But we are happy for those that have gone to glory and have received the greatest gift of all today. So, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that we are a people of hope. We're a people that believe in life after this earthly existence. So Father, today we pray for our community, those wandering our streets or in these homes around this church and spread throughout this land that do not have a relationship with Jesus. Father, we pray today that eyes would be opened, that hearts would be stirred, that spirits would be softened. Today the message speaks of unity, and the only way we are to be unified is through love. Nothing else in existence can unify us the way God's love working through each one of us. So Father, today I pray for our nation and our world in spots of trouble, of places of war, of places of disaster. Father, we do pray today for those affected by the tornadoes in Mississippi and Texas, and those throughout the Midwest and the South that are experiencing this terrible weather at Christmas time. Father, we pray for those families that have lost loved ones. We pray for those suffering grief today. So, Father, we just pray that you would be with us in this time of fellowship with you, that as we sing our songs of praise and holy hymns, that you would receive our love back to you. We love you, Jesus. We love our God the Father. We love the Holy Spirit working among us. Let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thank you.
This is Hannah praying and praising. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. As Hannah gave her firstborn son Samuel to God, so now we offer our lives and our gifts to God. God does not demand such sacrifice, and yet our gifts are pleasing to him. With gratitude and love, we offer our gifts that God's love may clothe the world. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our gifts?
Thank you.
singing and praising God with us this morning. Thank you all very much. Our message today is backed up by scripture from Colossians this morning. I want to read, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word this morning, if you're able. Our scripture comes from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Hear these words this morning. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other, as the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace unto which you were called in one body, and be thankful, people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for these words, these encouraging words, the only words that will produce unity among the body of Christ. Father, I ask the blessing upon the message this morning, that we would hear it with fresh ears and a fresh spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So I stand here before you each Sunday practically and encourage you towards salvation. Is your salvation intact and secure this morning?
Amen.
Where are you in your relationship with Christ? You know, before we could get along with one another, before we speak as new believers, we've got to be right with God, correct?
Amen.
How can we love one another if we do not love God? Does that seem possible? We have people in loving relationships, in family bonds, in marital bonds, in parent and children bonds, grandparents and grandchildren. All of these situations we find ourselves in, we claim to love these people. Is that possible without the love of God in your heart? Who models this kind of love to us? That would be a question I would have for an atheist to say, you say you love someone, where did you learn to love? I wonder what the response would be. Any ideas? Oh, I'm just a good person. I just love people. Yeah. You've heard me say before, I work with people that claim to not need God, not need church, but they were a good person. I just do the right thing. I just treat people right. Treat people the way I want to be treated. Does any of that sound familiar to you? And back before I was such a strong Christian, as you all know that I am today, having some frustration, I would finally say, that's God working through you, but you're just too stupid to know it. Amen.
Amen.
I don't say stupid much anymore. Right, Nancy? When we're driving and someone cuts me off, I don't say, you stupid idiot. God bless you. Have a nice day. That's right. His lightning strikes somewhere in that area. Folks, the New Testament speaks of believers having a new mind. We have to change the old part of us, right? The new year is upon us. Everyone ready to change? We're all ready to change, aren't we?
Amen.
Do we want change in our life? Do we want to be a different kind of person? I'm not getting much positive response from this congregation. You're good enough right where you are, right?
No.
It's a little difficult, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, at the new birth, a person becomes a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. It's not that we've just received some Christmas gifts. We've become a new person.
Amen.
Who today wants to be a new person? I want a new body. My body hurts sometimes. Oh my God, what's up with this? I'm a relatively young man. Why do I have these aches and pains? God's going to give me a new body. He gave Richard a new body on Christmas Eve. But he's going to make us leave this one to get it, isn't he?
Yep.
My friend David Shute and I converse. We say we're not afraid to die. We're just not into this whole suffering thing. Right, David? If you're going to take me, let it be, boom, you're done. But we win this grace and peace in the life of Richard Fearbit. That's one, and I know many, many occasions, because Richard is so fresh on my mind. We share a really a poignant moment there, David and I. But I'm telling you, sometimes it takes a while for us to become that new person in life and death. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's hard to misunderstand what and how God feels about love. What's spoken about more than anything else in the Bible?
Love.
It's not money. It's love.
Love.
God speaks of love to us through the Bible. That's the only way we're going to get there. How do we love one another? You know, God gave us Jesus, and God loves us as an example of how we are to love one another. Now, this is where I squirm a little bit, and probably you too. How do we demonstrate love to people? How do we demonstrate love to people? And in the pastoral circles, we say the ones that need just a little more grace. You know what that means, right? Those people that are tough to love. Anybody got anyone in your life that's just a little bit tough to love? Raise your hand, because now you're lying in church. Okay, now my hand's lying. Believe it or not, I've got people in my life that I'm like, doggone it. I don't want to love you like I love people I love. But God is softening my heart and growing me and forcing me into areas of life that I don't necessarily want to go. But I'm learning how to love people that in my past I may not necessarily have given them the time of day. If we were to have unity, not only in our own families, beautiful thing here, Christmas Eve, these families gather. I love that time of year. I love that candlelight service. This place was just brimming with people, with families that come together. Sometimes that's a once a year occurrence. In my own family, we used to try to do that. Now that my father has passed away, my mother went to Missouri. We were with friends. A couple of friends came to the house. And we shared our Christmas time, not only with you all here on Christmas Eve, but we have friends come to our house to share that time of fellowship together. Any of you have any drama at your house when family gathers? All right, Ann, you're the only honest one up here this morning. That's why we only get together with family once a year. Give us the rest of the year to simmer down a little bit. Then next year when Christmas rolls around, we forgot about those folks that create the drama. That's not true. We are called to love one another. Now, if we have a hard time loving people that we're blood related to, how do we love people that are different than us? We're talking about unity today, and not only the church, but in the family of God. You know, we gather on Sunday mornings, and if we look around here, I think this holds true here. The family of God sometimes in individual places have a commonality about them, don't they? Is the family of God truly loving one another in unity? You have church in your building, we'll have church in ours, and then if we meet on the street, we'll say, God bless you. That's something that not only the church has to work on, but it's something that we as individuals. When we're out on the streets doing our thing, living our lives, do we see people that are not quite like us and say, Or do we just ignore them? The only way we're going to have unity in this world, and our world is kind of messed up right now, isn't it? Is this the worst time in human history, what's going on right now?
No.
No, it's been going on forever, hasn't it? This is going on during our generation, during our time of being in charge of things. The previous generations, throughout the Bible, speaks of just these troubling times. So, if we're always going to be in these troubled times, and we're always going to have this drama in our lives, and if we want to live happy, fulfilled lives, shouldn't we learn how to get along with one another at least by love and unity in that respect? It's a difficult task. I'm not standing here before you this morning and saying this is an easy thing to do. Apparently, these folks in this written word have struggled with the same questions and problems that we have today. But when we love one another, we make things happen, don't we?
Amen.
Have you ever witnessed mission and ministry in the world that is just so unlikely, that bring people together that seem unlikely to be brought together? This love that we talk about, this charity, you know what charity is? The bond of perfection. It perfectly holds us together in kindness, humility, and patience together. How is your patience today with people that rub you the wrong way? I'm going to go and sit with you because you just rub me the wrong way. You just breathe on my skin, but I'm just going to sit here until we love another. The secret of this is the way we love one another. It's nice when that love comes back, isn't it?
Amen.
Does that always happen?
Nope.
No. This perfection that we talk about, this whole love and unity together, it comes from the Greek word that means complete. Are we complete as a person if we have anger and angst and drama in our hearts? Something's missing, isn't it? When we're in the midst of those relationships where these things are tearing us apart, we're not complete, are we? There's always something just not right. That love of Christ makes things right. Plato once said, two things cannot be held together without a third. They must have some bond of union. And the fairest bond in which most completely fuses and is fused into the things which are bound. God's love is the perfect bond that makes these others usable. If we don't have God's love in the midst of our lives, other things go to waste. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Feel that? Do you feel that? When God's love is not in something, it's just a waste of our time, isn't it?
Amen.
Or how long do we stand and bash our head against the wall and nothing good can ever come of it? It happens. Paul said in Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. The law that Jesus brought us, the law that Jesus eliminated from our world, centered around love. Apart from this, love is legalism. We get tied up in our rules and regulations, don't we?
Amen.
Why do we have so many rules and regulations? Because we don't love those people. You ever think about that? The reason we have to have all these laws and rules and everything we do is dictated by someone else is because we don't love one another. Love would eliminate the need for a lot of rules, wouldn't it, and a lot of laws. Think about that.
Yes, Lord.
I wish there was someone running for president that had the answer to that question. If we depend on man to lead us to unity and peace, we're in trouble, aren't we? I think we might be seeing some evidence of that in our political system today, for one, but in our world in general. We have to have a treaty with Iran so we don't have to bomb them and so they don't sneak over here and try with Russia. We have to have these treaties with everybody so we can try to get along. I wonder if they loved us and we loved them, if we couldn't just be one big happy family. What do you think of that concept? That one big happy family concept. They weren't quite able to pull it off in here, so we're still working on that. Who's going to ensure that? What's the one right answer in church? Jesus. Jesus is coming back. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here he calls it the peace of Christ, because it is the peace he brings. That's our only hope, folks. In John, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." The world sort of messed this love thing up, hasn't it?
Amen.
God sent people down here to give us the word. Each time we messed it up, Moses. Finally, I like to say, God said, "Son, go down there and straighten these people out. Go down there and tell them to love me and love their neighbor. That's all I need you to tell them." How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that?
Needs work.
Folks, today I just wanted to bring a message of hope. I hope my conversation up to this point hasn't been hopeless sounding to you. Because I'm very hopeful. I am very hopeful that we're going to learn to love one another, that we're going to be unified in the body of Christ. We're going to continue to work on that until Jesus comes. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus comes in His glory, we're going to have it right. Well, we better have it right, or we might be in trouble. How do we get it right? What do we do? For one, we've got to know what's right, right? We've got to pick this up. We've got to read it. I encourage you all again. The New Year's coming. New Year's resolution. How many like New Year's resolutions? You're lying in church again. No one likes New Year's resolutions. Few of you that raised your hand.
I do so.
Folks, I'm going to encourage you this year to get one of these. Does everyone have one of these? Does anyone need one of these? Let's say this. I'm now using the Common English Bible. It's very understandable to read. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible that you're like, "What did that say?" You may still have that question, but this translation actually meets my needs. I encourage you to get a Bible and use it more than to hold the Sunday paper down on the porch so it doesn't blow out the yard. A paperweight. Because the only way we're going to know what God is calling us to do, how we are to love one another and care for one another and be there for one another, is to study the example of Christ. I like to call this the book of love. You ever heard the Bible call that the book of love? There's two kinds of love, right? Positive and negative. You know how that works? Positive love is you're encouraging someone. You're encouraging those in what they're doing good and what they are doing that is showing Christ love. You know what the negative side of love is? When you're pointing out things of fault in people, admonishing people. Do we need to be admonished? Boy, my mom's not here, so I'm going to use her. When I was a child, I didn't like to be admonished, did you? Can we admonish one another in love? If we know someone is doing something in a sinful way and is breaking God's law and God's love, are we to point that out to them in a loving way? Do your head like this. See, no one wants that responsibility, do we? That's a little unnerving. That can be a little negative. But as we love one another, sometimes we have to be there and love people through their drama and their trouble, right? This book will explain and allow you to learn that practice. Did Jesus admonish anyone? Sure he did. Did he love people? Sure he did. You don't have to be like your pastor, but you should be like your Savior, Jesus. Now, your pastor's trying to be like Jesus, but you obviously know a lot of my faults and flaws by now, right? Believe it or not, I've got some faults. I know that you find that hard to believe. Right, honey? She's just back there taking notes. I think I'm going to hear about this later. You know, that woman takes a lot of notes. And then she has a lot of questions on the way home. And sometimes I don't have the answers of my own. Folks, I love you. And I care for you. And I want you to share in the family of God and join me in unity this year. Can we make a pledge this year that we're going to be united, not only as a church and as a family of Christ, but we're going to love one another. We're going to love those, not only in our own congregation, that are a little rough to love, no one that I can think of offhand, but you know, outside these doors are people that just might rub us the wrong way. Instead of our first reaction being something out of hate or prejudice or wherever angry thoughts come from, let's look at them with love. Amen? Would you pledge with me this year to look at people in a new light? Lord, help. Amen. We'll need the Lord's help with that. I agree. And I hope we can make that pledge to God for one, and then pledge to one another. We're sitting here as brothers and sisters in Christ. That makes me feel good. Does it make you feel good?
Amen.
I love you all and I care about you. And I want the best for you. And I know drama and trouble and all those things are difficult to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But if when those times come up, we say, my church family loves me. And I can deal with this. I can get through. My church family puts up with me, so I can put up with this. And I can show God's love back. I pray that you'll join me in that endeavor this year. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for this message of unity. Father, throughout Paul's letters, he speaks of this unity of love. It's needed today in our church and the church universal more than ever. I pray today, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ as we've gathered in this place, to celebrate once again the birth of your Son, that we will pledge together to live in unity and live in love and respect for one another. Father God, I love you. I give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today it came upon the midnight clear, number 218 in your hymnal or projected. Please stand as we share our closing hymn.
as healthy as, and give my best to your wonderful family. Give my best to your wonderful family.
I sure will.
Great. I love you.
For the coming week, and that we may do all things through Christ our Lord, who strengthens us. Amen.